Welcome to Habitual Excellence, presented by Value Capture. This podcast and our firm is all about helping you and your organization achieve habitual excellence via one unifying focus, one value-based structure, and one performance system. In other words, it's about helping you capture dramatically more value through achieving perfect care and perfect safety for patients and staff. To learn more about Value Capture and our services, visit www.valuecapturellc.com.
Welcome, listeners. I'm Ken Siegel. I'm the CEO of Value Capture, and I'm pretty excited about this edition of Habitual Excellence. We're really blessed to be joined by Ronnie Daves, who helps lead Prisma Health Baptist Park Ridge. He does lead it, together with an extended leadership team that we learn a lot from. Ronnie, thanks for coming on Habitual Excellence with us.
Yep, happy to be here today.
We're glad to have you. And we have you here to really zero in eventually on a really powerful model you all are honing to deliver healthcare in a way that delivers pretty dramatic, great results across the board for the people we're serving as patients, the populations we serve, but also the people providing the care, not to mention the financial sustainability of the enterprise. And one of the ways you've caught our attention with it is by referring to it in some ways as a pancake syrup model. So we'll use that as a little bit of a teaser for audience members who may not have heard that. But we want to back up to start and learn a little bit about you. So how did you get to be a healthcare leader? What kind of environments did you come up in, and what brought you to leadership at Prisma Health?
So yeah, I kind of have an interesting a pathway. I was a biology and chemistry undergrad and actually became a radioactive chemist for about 8 years, but always had interest in healthcare. You know, originally thought about being a physician, but knew that I was a little more business minded and just liked to go to work, and, you know, going to school for 8 or 12 years just wasn't something that I was really interested in. And so I wound up getting a master's in health administration from the Medical University of South Carolina down in Charleston. And then, you know, kind of jumped into that in 2007. So I haven't been in healthcare for very long, but spent 12 years with Community Health Systems, a very large for-profit, publicly traded organization, and wound up being a leader with them in 5 different locations, CEO at 3 locations over those 12 years, and then had the opportunity to come back home, which is South Carolina. That organization at one point owned hospitals in South Carolina, but sold them all. And so Prisma Health, being the largest healthcare provider in the state of South Carolina, was something that really interested me in allowing me to come home and be close to family, my parents and my wife's parents, while also getting to, you know, lead an impact on the state and have some opportunities amongst the state, right? I am currently in the Midlands market in the Irmo location at Park Ridge, which is a 76-bed facility. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, so it is a beautiful boutique, nice and fancy. We've got some water features and a fire feature and things like that, and have really just focused on trying to take the best care of patients as we can in this Irmo market of the Midlands.
And you certainly have. We'll lay another little teaser here. Your location with your leadership and that of your colleagues has attained Leapfrog Top Hospital 3 times together with other fabulous metrics. So we'll get to hear about that. So I think anybody hearing you just, you know, very briefly and humbly go over your bio there as a leader, you know, first of all, certainly resonate with you know, your commitment to the community and coming home and all of that, but also you've worked in for-profit as well as now nonprofit, and to have been in healthcare for 13 years, and to have served as CEO in so many different contexts already, will recognize a fast riser, right? So it's great to have you on and have you share your learnings with us as a leader. So Ronnie, you were in environments for more than a decade of a certain type, and then you came to Prisma, and you guys have started to run a model that's a little different. And you guys sometimes call it pancake syrup. And so can you start by, we're going to start by sort of having you describe what it is, what the model is from the perspective of a leader. Can you start with sort of the framework, the leadership framework, the philosophy behind it, and then we'll sort of get progressively into how it actually works in a concrete sense.
Yeah, I think so. Again, I think, Prisma's mission is to inspire health, serve with compassion, and be the difference. And I think that we do have a model here that we truly believe that we can drive qualitative measures by taking better care of patients than a lot of our counterparts by focusing on pancake syrup. And we're talking about healthcare, right? So what does pancake syrup have to do with healthcare in general at all? But it goes back down to doing routine things routinely well. And again, one of you guys' catchphrases is habitual excellence, right? And so that is doing the same thing each and every day, having standard work that drives metrics in the direction that we want to go. And so for us, it is those qualitative measures, right? And so in healthcare, we all know that every day that you stay here, you've got a chance of getting something that's unplanned, right? A CAUTI, a CLABSI, a pressure injury, or something that you didn't come in for. And so we focus on routine things being done routinely well so that we can give time back to providers, nurses, respiratory therapists, people that work within our organization that have a special skill set, whether that's an education or a certification or a competency. And we want to make sure that they have all the time in the world to do their special things. We all know that to take good care of, to not have CAUTIs, we want to make sure that we're paying attention to catheters, how long they stay in, why they're in, and if they need to remain in. And the only people that can make those decisions are providers and nurses, right? So if we can focus on things and make sure that the nurse gets to spend their entire day focused on CAUTI care, we will have better outcomes. And we start that, and one of the conversations that we start that with is pancake syrup, right? So this is a 76-bed facility. I think we have 68 patients in our hospital today. So this morning we delivered 68 breakfast trays. And if we served pancakes today, hopefully there's pancakes, hopefully maybe there's some bacon, there's a cup of coffee and some butter and probably some pancake syrup. And if we have forgotten that pancake syrup today, the first thing that that patient's going to do is they're going to grab this little thing on a string that's in their bed, and they're going to push this button, and it's going to turn a light on in the hallway, and it's going to ring somebody at the nurse's station, and they're going to say, "Yes, Miss Smith, what can we do for you?" And Miss Smith is going to say, "I'm super excited to eat my breakfast. It looks great, but I would really like some pancake syrup." And for the next 10, 20, maybe even 30 minutes, a nourse is going to go look in the nourishment room for pancake syrup. And if it's not there, she's going to have to call down to dietary to try to find this. And so for the next 20 to 30 minutes, this nurse is not doing something that she is highly trained for, that she is compassionate and engaged about, but she's going to do something that we have hired dietitians and dietary staff to do for us, right? And so we focus on that each and every day in numerous metrics, so that the people that do the special things here in this hospital get to focus on that, and they don't wind up wasting their time looking for pancake syrup, or maybe looking for a 2x2 in the supply room, or possibly trying to find a medication in the Omnicell. And so that's where we focus. And the transition and the difference from what I've seen at this organization prior to my for-profit is we track a lot of the same metrics, right? Even in all of my history, we've looked at how quick it takes to turn over a room, but we've never driven it or tied it to how it is part of the qualitative measure, right? And so again, the quicker we turn over a room, the quicker somebody comes out of the ER, the shorter that length of stay is, and they get on a plan of care so that they can get better quickly. And so I think that's the biggest change, is that we continue to focus on routine things that we believe really do give time back to the heroes and the specialized caretakers that we have in our building.
So, Ronnie, that is like graduate school in 45 seconds, right? And it's graduate school from leaders who have learned to make things clear and simple, right? Which we all know is sort of the hardest thing. So let me engage you a little bit more about the model and make sure some of the things you said are heard and checking back with you. So the first thing I heard was it's really anchored in the vision of Prisma to provide the best care it is possible to provide, and anchored in safety. Like you, your first example there was the longer you're, and we're talking about inpatient flows here for your example, the longer you're in here, the more chance you have of getting something bad, right? So it's really rooted in a vision of excellence and how to get there, starting with safety, if I heard you right.
Yeah, 100%. And again, I think for-profits talk about quality measures and safety being a forefront, but again, sometimes the focus still winds up leaning on the financial side. This is the first organization that I do. We believe that we are truly leading from a staff and patient safety standpoint, right? We've got to take care of our staff and our patients on both sides, and that's some accountability on either side, right? Patients also have to take care of our staff and not abuse them. We've got that going on in healthcare today. But yeah, every meeting that we have, we start off with patient stories, we start off with great catches, and we start off with any employee injuries that we have. And that is the core of where we start anything that we do. And then from there, we try to get into metrics that drive time to providers so that they can take better care of our patients.
Right. Okay. So great. So then you've outlined this, that your focus is on the people who actually take care of patients and doing the things only they can do. We want them doing that 100% of the time, you know, that they, that's what they do. And they're the ones that can produce improved health and prevent the caries and all of that. And then this idea of time, and that's what you're focused on, giving it back to them. And you know, I know when we work with an organization and we sort of help people get to the front line, and a lot of leaders in healthcare and not just for-profit, but other organizations are, you know, looking at a lot of numbers, but having sometimes problems getting into the flows and really seeing what's happening. We'll see those frontline caregivers and everybody else spending at least 50% of their time chasing around after two by twos and things like that that you're saying. And so you guys are focused relentlessly on that waste elimination in a very concrete way. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, exactly. And again, every day we have a scorecard that goes out at the end of the day that talks about the day prior, and it focuses on how long it took us to clean a room and turn over a room. It focuses on those supplies being in the right spot, the meds being in the right spot. It talks about how quickly the labs were on the chart, right? And so again, those are measured each and every day, and they are put on a stoplight report, right? Green, yellow, or red. And if anything is yellow or red, the leader knows that they need to put in an explanation of what happened, where was the outlier, and how can we improve that? And again, it's not a punitive dynamic, right? It is a truly, can we trend things? Can we understand things? Can we make sure that we tackle this tomorrow so the exact same outlier doesn't happen again? And I think it really has driven what I have seen, especially, you know, compared to my two experiences, is that there is a lot more frontline engagement here, right? We have done a good job of building a culture and showing the frontline staff what we're tracking, why we're tracking, and how important they are to the ultimate mission, which is taking great care of our patients. And not is it just that the nurse really did a good job with the catheter care, but you helped in making sure that everything that she needed to do that was where it needed to be at the right time, at the right place. And so I have seen more engagement in the qualitative measures of this facility by an EVS tech or by a dietitian, a dietary tech, than I've ever seen. And even engineering, right? If the fluorescent light bulb above the patient bed is not on and we don't fix that quickly, that's a distraction for everybody that's trying to do the care. And so they are focused on getting to any patient-facing work order within 30 minutes. And our group here is on 100% of the time they get to that, right? So if the sink is clogged or whatever, so those patients still feel like their room is clean, EVS can do their job. I think it goes back. I listened to the podcast with Mayor Ganey from Pittsburgh. And, you know, he said it's kind of funny that he would say that one of the most important products that he watches is the public works, not public safety, right? But again, if the city doesn't run, then you can't be safe. And so the same thing, the hospitals are run, you know, everybody talks about being a doctor, being a nurse, and that being a wow factor, right? And you know, you go, you work at a healthcare institute and you're in EVS, and people go, oh, okay, you're just a housekeeper. And you're like, it's so much more than that. And I do believe that this model drives that and drives some of what historically within healthcare has seemed to be lower level positions within the organization, elevate and really bring us all to the same team. And it's really been awesome to see and awesome to be a part of.
And it's so exciting to hear that. And we've gotten a chance to walk with you and see it and observe and, of course, watch the results begin to build. And, you know, a lot of organizations, again, talk about everybody has value and that kind of thing. But you guys are actually working it every day in a way that has people feel very connected to the flow of care to the patients. And I want to, I think probably people are listening and continuing to wonder sort of how is this different from what we do? And, where there might be focus on metrics, like you said, everybody focuses on the metrics and, but then the tide of the people and the actual flow. And so I want to draw out a few of those things. So you talked about, these key metrics that are related to getting the people on the front line what they need, the sort of workings of the hospital in this case on the inpatient side. And one of the things that's notable to me is you guys don't collect 58 measures on every department as your sort of change and key flow metric. You may have one or two to help people get this fundamental idea. So you almost have less than others, but they're really linked together, customer supplier flow across the enterprise. Is that an accurate description? And do you want to say anything about that?
I think it is exactly that. Right now, on a true leadership standpoint, with the leader, right, we've got a lot more metrics, right? But when you think about, just right now from an OR standpoint, our metric is first case on time starts, right? And so from a daily standpoint, that is what we have flagged as one of our key metrics within the OR to have an efficient day, right? Let's start on time, make sure our physicians are here, the patients are prepped, and all that kind of stuff. And so that's just that one measure for the OR. Now, when I meet with that OR leadership, we talk about, 100 things, but that's leadership. And so these metrics, I think, are something that the team can tackle, right? And they can say, we're really focused on first case on time starts, and we want to make sure that our turnover times are quick, right? And so I do think it is simple, right? And I think I've said this before too. It's so simple, it's kind of stupid sometimes, that it's the same metrics that everybody's tracking, but it's being delivered in a different model. It is being explained to frontline staff in a different way, not just we know that the standard in the industry is a 30-minute turnover time, and we want you to do your job, right? It is truly that if you do your job, this is what it leads to. This is what it allows your other teammates outside of your unit to do that really drives patient experience and patient care, right? Both things.
Awesome. And another thing, maybe to illustrate this further, talk about how you guys review these metrics as a leadership team every day and sort of first cup stack at the beginning of the day. What does that look like?
I think, every day we start off with, an AOD report, an administrator on duty report that says this is how many patients are in the building, this is, how many transfers we had, ER volume, things like that. And then it ties to the report from the end of the day yesterday, right? And any challenges that we might have had. And so again, before, I mean, usually while I'm brushing my teeth, I'm looking at an AOD report in my bathroom and seeing what the day looks like it's teed up for. Now, I am specifically the person that does the daily scorecard at the end of the day. So I already know what we did yesterday. I know how many things were green. I know how many things were yellow or red. And might remember that maybe we had a staffing concern yesterday in dietary, and I'm hoping that we don't have it today, right? And so that's how my day starts. And again, like I said, I look at the AOD report on my phone, usually while I'm brushing my teeth, so that I can be ready. And if there's anything that is, from an overnight standpoint, a little bit more important, we can tackle it as soon as possible. But those metrics, we look at all of our transfers, right, to make sure that the patients that came in our building make sense, and that the patients that left our building make sense, right? We want to make sure that we, because again, I think we take amazing care of all of our patients, and so I don't want anybody to go somewhere else that we could have taken care of, and so we track that stuff too.
Right. You track the flow of the whole enterprise. And again, as someone who's gotten to observe it, one of the things I think is notable, and I want to check this back with you, is and you're checking these pancakes here at Metrics. So, for example, pharmacy, if there are any stockouts to any of the floors, like heading for zero is the goal, we're root causing that. We are working on that. It is called out. Everybody sees it, and we want to know why. And we're working on it every day so that the flow of care can continue to those patients unimpeded. And we're getting better and better at our process excellence in that horizontal way. Is that, did I see that correctly when I was
Yeah,
there?
100%. And I think it's funny with you talking about medication stockouts, especially, right? Like we've got some groups that are hardcore about it. We've got some groups that all do good jobs, right? But even our pharmacy group, just in the last probably about a year ago, I mean, they were down to like three stockouts a night, right? And they still are so engaged that they found another process. They changed how they come in. They started checking stuff in a different method, and they've driven it down to almost less than one stockout every day, right? And so I think the engagement in that and the watching trend lines, right? Because every month we take the trended data to a leadership connection where our entire leadership team sees it. And so you can see, even if you're hitting your goal, you can see if you're creeping up or if you're creeping down. And everybody wants to continue to creep down to that zero or up to that 100, right? Whichever metric you're kind of looking at. And it was neat to see that I didn't go to the pharmacy leadership and say, what can we do to drive this down? Because they were doing great, right? And I think it goes back to it's kind of that Paul O'Neill approach, right? 99% is great. It really is, right? 99.5 is great. But when we're talking about healthcare, that 1% is a person. That 1% might be three people, depending on your volume, right? And so just because 99% is good doesn't mean that we can't strive for zero. I mean, zero harm has been on the docket, ever since I came into healthcare. And when we first started, it's like we're not industries, right? It's not a widget. Every pneumonia is not the same. And so we've had lots of excuses. And there are numerous moving parts, but I do think if you continue to strive and continue to look at things on an individual basis and not just a stat, I think it keeps everybody engaged. Because again, we have gone 2 years without a CLABSI here. We've gone over a year without a CAUTI here. We've got some great scores, but man, when that one happens, it breaks our heart because we know that it was a person. We know that it was somebody's grandmother or mother or sister. And that's just not something that we want to have here. And so we've really done some awesome things here and have gone some really long stretches without harm. And so when it does happen, man, it shakes us to our core. And it's something that we need, right? Because again, you can get lackadaisical when things are going really well. And the only way that you stay at the top is to just truly drive that standard work each and every day.
Ronnie, I love hearing you talk. And, in this last bit, again, what I hear is that sort of, the voice of the staff and the, the leaders of the departments and the line staff coming up feeling, finally, we have leaders perhaps that instead of raining down 500 different initiatives and things kind of vertically on us are supporting the actual flow of care that we're here to provide and helping us become great problem solvers and innovators to do that. And the pride that comes with being supported in your work and being able to be very, very successful, right? And sort of in a system that, we hear all day long about systems where people are pulled 50 different directions and are sort of overwhelmed by various different things not pulling the same way. And you guys seem to be pulling the same way around the actual flow of care. Is that the goal?
Yeah, I believe so. And again, as a market, we 100% are, right? All there's four hospitals in this market. Mike Bundy is over all of them, and is our leader and champion of this. And we treat it as a 1,000-bed hospital. We all have the same metrics. We all have the same standards. We're all working towards the same thing. And then I do think as a global organization, we've got some really good PI stuff. And I
Absolutely.
think we continue to engage those leaders and say, you and your team find something that's beneficial to you, right? That does impact a patient. Because just us looking at some stats or finding some number that we think is out of whack and pushing that agenda on somebody doesn't let them own it. And so I do think we also do a good job of engaging our group to say, what would make you like your job better, right? What would make you take better care of patients and you go find that. I just left one of those meetings right before coming on this, and it was neat to see the respiratory therapy group say we want to focus on under 37-week deliveries because I think we don't get invited all the time, but we want to be there for that baby every single time, right? And
Nice.
so it's
That's excellent. And thanks for mentioning the, Prisma is a very large system and the good work of the large system. For those that don't know, Prisma's being recognized increasingly as a leader in creating a sort of unified operating system to support the front line, including very sophisticated, well-organized, simplified flows of clinical information and support to the front line. So very in keeping with sort of this incredible leadership and operations model that you're sort of bringing to bear very intensely in the Midlands market. So that's great to hear. There's so much to talk about here. Let's talk a little bit about results, right? Because it's a stress time in healthcare. Everybody knows we need results. Can you share a little bit about once you've got this organized and flowing and the people are buying in at every level and, obviously you're bought in, we can feel your energy. What results have you all produced with this over time, and how do you think about it as a leader in terms of the results it's capable of
Yeah,
producing?
well, I mean, and again, specifically for Park Ridge, yeah, we're a leapfrog A hospital, 7 out of 8 last reporting periods. We've been a top hospital 3 times. So qualitatively, we're CMS 4-star, that kind of stuff. So qualitatively, I think we've done great. One of the things I think that is really neat in the last probably year and a half is how we have scaled this across the market, right?
Yeah.
So Mike started at Baptist and Park Ridge, 2 of the hospitals. He's now over the other two. And so Toomey and Richland are now coming along. And some of the things that we've done just over the last year is really neat. We've gone from 40,000 discharges across the market to 44. So we've come up almost 10%. And while seeing a reduction in our length of stay from 6.6 days to 5.9. So across that many people and that many locations, driving that length of stay down is just very, very impressive. We've grown in our ER volume by about 38%, and we've reduced our length of stay there, right? And while growing almost 38% in the ER, we've reduced our left without being seen from 4.5% to 1.5%, right? And it's in those metrics that we drive and the things that we pay attention to, right? It's the turnaround time of the bed that people aren't just stacking up in the ER. But we empty the room upstairs and we get a patient from the ER, we move them upstairs, and another person gets to come in and get seen by a physician quick enough that they don't leave without being treated or seen. And so I do think there has been some just awesome things there, specifically again with Park Ridge, from a mortality standpoint and a PSI 90 score. We're in the 95th percentile. So we do better than 95% of the hospitals in America on those metrics. We've got lots of 90s and 95s and stuff. And so it is a safe place to come get care, right? I
Yeah.
mean, it's always good to work at a place that you're happy to, invite your family, invite your friends and say, yeah, I wouldn't go anywhere else. But it is really neat to see the things that we're doing as a market and how that we also strategically have conversations about getting patients in the right locations based on the volumes that we do, right? Again, in healthcare, repetition is good. The more you do of something, the better you get at it. And so just driving those dynamics and then some of our financial turnarounds from last year to this year have been dramatic, more in some of the downtown places than Park Ridge. Park Ridge is in a very good payer mix, growing community. And so financially, we're pretty strong here and usually carry a decent amount of weight. But the other financial dynamics that we have done has just been impressive. Because again, 44,000, 10% more discharges with a lower length of stay, that's always a good thing.
And it's led to toward $100 million turnaround in a couple campuses, et cetera. So, the leaders listening won't be surprised that the financial numbers have been significant, but because you've produced the operational change, supported, and where the people are energized by it, right? Because it's sort of organized the right way. It's exciting to see all those, and we like to talk about win-win-wins at the same time, like the good things happening at the same time because you're running a great operating system, right? And I'd like to emphasize that point too, because, and I don't know if you hit this in earlier in your career, but a lot of healthcare we still see organized as there's the management system over here, there's the quality system over here, there's the safety system over here, the PI team maybe even separate from that. You guys are running one system that embeds all of that. Is that
Yes.
a fair, is that a fair statement of your goal and what's actually happening?
It is, and the Pulse system is available to all frontline staff, right? I mean, it is a learning platform, right? It is the place that we want to enter everything so that trends are built across the system, right? Not just this facility, but all of the facilities. It is a learning mechanism so that our frontline staff can put in things that almost happened, right? Great catches, good catches, things that like I saw this med and it was in the wrong spot. And if that gets plugged into the system two or three times, we know we have a system-wide issue, right? And so we may, Park Ridge may save the life of somebody in Greenville, South Carolina, 2 hours away because of the engagement that we have. And again, I think we are trying to push a culture of self-reporting and you know, not to say tattling on yourself, but like you're not in trouble. Let's fix these things, right? We can't fix the things that we don't know. And if we just fix them and don't tell anybody else, we will miss those systematic dynamics. And so I do think as we work together, we will drive the quality across, you know, the entire state of South Carolina. And I think that's been seen. You know, Prisma Health was formed almost a little more than 5 years ago. South Carolina used to be like 45th in the nation for healthcare outcomes. We're up to 38 now, and we are the largest healthcare provider. And so I do believe that we as an organization are truly impacting the entire state of South Carolina and the health outcomes that we have. And there are numerous spots. I mean, yeah, Mike is focused on a zip code in the Columbia market that's got more diabetic amputations than anywhere in the nation. And that's the organization that we are, right? And I think all of these operational qualitative measures that we do and the improvements that we make allow us to have the quality to take care of them, but also the financial wherewithal to do a little bit more outreach, right? A little more reach to maybe a patient population that doesn't have the money to do all the things that they need to preventatively. And so it is exciting that as we continue to turn the corner financially as well, that we hope to be able to invest in our communities a little bit stronger than we have in the past.
It's so great. And you know, thank you so much for talking about that upstream stuff too, because it's the same thinking, right? When you're thinking systemically in the flow of value, how early can we get this and help people protect their health so they may not even have to come here? And to see Prisma making that kind of difference across the state that's measurable with these ideas is really exciting at a challenging time, I think, in a healthcare. So it's exciting. It's really exciting to hear that. And I just want to make the point to listeners too, from the process improvement community, et cetera, and from the leadership community. You all are running a single system where you root cause a safety problem the same way you root cause an operational problem. And you're doing them both in real time that day. And you're looking at them together and you're using the same method and you're creating excellence in the same way. So this is not you know, a Tower of Babel. This is a highly honed, integrated, simplified, common sense system. And it's exciting to see it working. So, Ronnie, will you talk here in this next section a little bit about this method and your group as a leader, your leadership group, and you guys working together on this with your peers and what it's done for you as a leader? How has it helped you evolve as a leader? What have you learned?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is it's really just re-engaged me, right? Again, I worked for a for-profit organization, made it, you know, a couple years into COVID. And again, I think the focus on trying to be financially strong during a tough, you know, social dynamic was leading towards burnout, right? Was leading towards a spot where I felt like the number one focus was to, you know, make another dollar. That was what was the number one factor at the moment. And so coming here and seeing that engagement and seeing how we have energized and giving everybody in this building, you know, a flag to stake on what we do from a quality standpoint has been re-energizing for me, if that makes sense. And again, we all kind of came into healthcare for healthcare reasons, right? And again, the business model at some point during my career became the bigger focus than actually taking good care of patients and staff. And so that has probably been the biggest enjoyment of this transition is seeing that instead of talking about quality, we really are driving quality, right? Again, everybody talks about it and there's always some emphasis on it, but I do believe that it is the number one focus of this organization and that feels good, right? That takes you back to what is deep down in your heart and the reason that we've come into healthcare, even if we're not a provider, even if not, I'm not a patient facing you know, person. And for me, I've worked in a lot of rural hospitals and I've always taken pride in trying to grow organizations from a size standpoint so that we can be a great employer as well, right? And so I enjoy that. And I think it's neat that I have now become in an organization that not only are we going to grow and we are growing, but we're engaging the people that we hire into the core mission of what we do, not just you clean rooms, right? Or you deliver food. It is you are part of taking care of this community and driving our health scores up.
I think everybody can hear your energy. And again, my hypothesis is you may be hearing from some of your peers about how can I get into this organization and get, I'd like to recover some of this feeling for myself. So Ronnie, what is next for Prisma, for Baptist Park Ridge and Pancakes Europe, and how you're thinking about these ideas as a leader?
I'm looking forward to the next few years. I've got some kids that are, you know, coming into high school and stuff. So I'm going to hunker down, you know, my career path. If you dig into it or find it, it has been pretty progressive and has been in numerous locations pretty quickly. We're going to try to hunker down and hang out here and really be a part of this progress. Super excited that this is a facility that is slated for some growth. It's in a great market in the Columbia market. And so we hope to add some beds and some acuity and some service lines that we have not been providing here in the near future. But just super excited to continue to see what we as Park Ridge, us as the Midlands, but then also us as just Prisma, what we're going to do for the state of South Carolina. And so looking forward to continue to work with Mike. Mike has been an amazing leader and mentor, and he believes in this even more than I do. He's been doing it a little bit longer, but it's been fun. And it's just really neat to see that we have driven, you know, there is four hospitals here, about 1,000 beds, and we're all on the same page, right? We're all pulling in the same direction and we're all focused on the same things. And so really excited to see how long we can drive some of these amazing quality measures. Because again, at Park Ridge, we've got some great scores. And so sometimes we're kind of going for some records, right? Like how long can we do something really, really well? And so I'm excited to be here in the market and continue to serve here at Park Ridge with just an amazing team. Again, we celebrated 10 years on March 19th. So I guess about a month ago almost was the 10-year celebration. And, you know, we've got about 450 FTEs here. And I think there's still 80 people that were here on day one.
Wow.
And through COVID, that's just super duper impressive. Even without COVID, I think that would have been impressive. But to see that we still have that many people that were here on day one and still believe in this facility so much that they're still here is pretty awesome.
And when you walk around, you sense that a lot of them have the same excitement you do about what's being achieved and what can it be achieved. And I know it's been a privilege for us way back in the day to have worked directly with Mike Bundy, the leader of the region, as you said, and also more recently to sort of learn with you and your peers and the other leaders at Prisma who are really taking ideas forward that I think are very important, based on the right values, based on sound operational thinking, and the kind of simplifying, anchoring, and purpose that we all need, and pulling it off to great effect. So, I love that you cited that big time impact on state health already. I mean, that's, you know, folks, this is what it's all about, right? Ronnie, thank you so much for being a guest. And let me just ask if other leaders would like to learn more about the model and how it's just a little bit different and organized a little different and from how they may have been dealing with some of these issues and trying to put together their own leadership system. Is it okay if they head your direction with a question or two or a request to visit? How should we handle that?
Yeah, anytime. Happy to share what I have learned and what I continue to learn. Right, I'm still in the infancy of this, and so again, I have enjoyed listening to some of your podcasts that you guys host. And it was really neat to hear the mayor of Pittsburgh on a different side, right, outside of the healthcare dynamic, but process improvement and coming to a core mission is not a healthcare thing. Find me on LinkedIn. Shoot me an email, Ronnie.Daves@PrismaHealth.org. And again, you can find me on LinkedIn somewhere. Happy to always connect with anybody that's willing to learn and wants to learn and or might have something to share with me so I can continue.
Thank you, Ronnie. It's so generous. And we'll put your contact information in the show notes. And, you know, continued thanks to everyone at Prisma for being willing to share the important frontiers that you're pushing. And for those that are interested in additional information on the Pancakes Europe model and these ideas in general and the philosophy behind them, you can also as Ronnie alluded to, our podcasts and other material that can be found through our website at www.valuecapturellc.com. Ronnie, thanks for being with us. But more than that, thank you for the leadership you're providing to American healthcare and the difference you're making, and I hope showing the way for others.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here. Enjoyed it.
Glad that you're here. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to Habitual Excellence, presented by Value Capture. We hope you'll subscribe to the podcast, and please also rate and review it in your favorite podcast directory or app. To learn more about Value Capture and how we can help your organization on this journey to habitual excellence, visit our website at www.valuecapturellc.com.